shut the fuck up and stop smelling your own farts. Radio Drone. Welcome to another episode of Radio Drome. I am Josh Hadley. With me, as always, is Peter, not kind of Serbian, not kind of Canadian, Gajic.
No, it's definitely Serbian, because that's where I was born. I was born in Serbia, and I have two Serbian parents, so definitely a Serbian that is living in Canada.
If you guys want to have a little bit of fun, go to adamandeve.com. Use the promo code DROME, D-R-O-M-E, and you will get 50% off of a single item, 3 free DVDs, a free Power O-Ring, and free U.S. shipping. Just use the promo code DROME at adamandeve.com. So it's going to be Peter and I here tonight. A couple of months ago, we did that whole Defend Your Movies set of episodes where movies that we loved that everyone else seemed to hate. We're going to do the opposite tonight. It's not going to be so much of an attack, but I want to look at movies that are considered amazing or so beloved by the populace that for whatever reason we can't get into. Now, I want to put this out there as a preface. If you like these movies, there's nothing wrong with that, okay? Our opinion should not force you to go, oh, maybe this isn't a good movie, or get mad at us for not liking it. What we're going to talk about are just movies we didn't like, but everyone else seems to, and we'll go into some of the reasons for those. So if you like these movies, fine. Like them. There's nothing wrong with that. But Peter, if you had to pick one movie that you just don't understand the popularity of, what would it be? And before you answer, let's throw out the criteria that I'm not talking about how the Grown Ups movies or the Madea movies or the Transformers movies are stupid but loved by the populace. I mean, movies that are genuinely loved, but you just don't get.
There's a couple examples. I think I'll start with Cabin Fever, because that was one of my first experiences really arguing with people over like I really hated it, and there were a bunch of people that were like horror fans like me that were really into it, and I just really didn't understand people talking about how smart it was, how cleverly written it was, how scary it was, all this crap, and I didn't buy it because I just sat through the whole movie frustrated. I thought every character was a dickhead without needing to be. I thought the premise was really stupid, and I really didn't like Eli Roth as a director or a filmmaker at all, or a writer. Like, this was my introduction to him, and all the magazines were saying, you know, this is a real rejuvenizing horror and all this stuff, and I couldn't stand the film whatsoever. I thought the dialogue was terrible, the pacing was even worse, and it's a movie that I don't understand why people love it, and it's unfortunate that we don't have Cecil with us on the show, because that would have been a nice little argument there between him and I, because
haha, but I am here.
Son of a bitch, he snuck up on me.
I can't believe, like, I mean, me and you have a lot of the same tastes in movies. We like a lot of, what we consider good that a lot of other people consider garbage. Don't understand how, I mean, I guess it's, you know, somewhere along the lines, you know, things get crossed and there's stuff that you don't like for whatever reason, but I just
pancakes.
Can't fathom.
Pancakes.
I don't like, pancakes. I mean, the whole movie, it's such a, like, subversion of the whole stupid teens do stupid things in the woods. It's like, not one of them dies from the virus. They all die from other things happening to them. And I really enjoyed it. Like, I remember, when I saw it in a theater, went in kind of expecting, more of a slasher movie, and ended up with something that, you know, made you think a little bit. Now, granted, on the surface, it does appear very stupid with, you know, their party and the guy gets a finger stuck up his ass, pancake scene, but it really has like a level of weirdness to it, and It's a movie I've seen a bunch of times, and I always come back to it with something like a different take, something that I didn't quite notice before. Hey, man, it's fine that you don't like it. I mean, I don't, you know, in the grand scheme of things, I really don't care. It sucks because I really think that it's such an enjoyable movie that has so much going for it, and it's such a bummer that you don't like it. But that's, you know, that's cool. I mean, and seriously, I know I wouldn't say that I'm in the minority, but I know that there are, I would say there's probably about as many people that dislike it as there are people that do like it. I mean, there's other movies where it's just completely lopsided, where, you know, the mass amounts of people love it, and then, you know, somebody else like hates it, or vice versa.
It's got a big enough following, I'd say, to be considered sort of a classic in its own right.
I'm on Peter's side here. The movie sucks.
No, you suck.
Only for money. Hey, $20 is $20, alright? Cecil, then, what's a movie that you just do not understand why so many people love?
Yeah, like with something like Paul Blart or a lot of the other just really brainless movies that come out, like they're always going to have an audience of people that are going to go see it. You're not going to have the passion behind it like some other movies. A movie that I saw when it was at like the height of its popularity, and it wasn't a matter of, you know, I'm being too cool for the room. I just genuinely thought that it was like a mediocre at best movie was The Hangover. I do not get how that was just heralded as this return to form, as this brilliant new hilarious movie that
highest grossing R-rated comedy of all time until Deadpool came along.
Wow. Yeah, it sucks. Every joke you see coming a mile away, Zach Galifianakis isn't funny. And I mean, the thing is, with the exception of Zach Galifianakis, there are a few people in the movie who I do find funny. But in this, they weren't funny. Oh, God, who's the Asian guy in this whose name I'm totally forgetting? But he was in Role Models, and he was hilarious in Role Models. A movie that bombed, that was a very funny movie, and meanwhile, The Hangover gets all this attention, and I thought it was one of the most mediocre. I think I laughed once, but every joke you saw coming, it was all setup, joke, setup. I've said this before, where it's like, hey, there's a tiger in the bathroom. What do you mean there's a tiger in the bathroom? Somebody goes in, oh, there's a tiger in the bathroom. Like, it's not funny. It was so hacked and just really awful. I hated it. I couldn't wait for it to be over simply because it just kept going. And then when they finally went over the whole thing, it was like, it just felt like it was a movie that was just filleting itself. I really, really don't understand why so many people were just in love with this movie. Now, in a way, I've kind of been vindicated because Hangover 2 came out and it was pretty much the same movie. And then Hangover 3 came out and Hangover 3 did really badly. And so Hangover 2 and 3, even though 2 did well and then 3 didn't do so well, it did kind of tarnish it a little bit. So there have been people that have come out since then that are like, you know, this movie is really not all that great. But when it was fresh out, there were people that were just praising it as the greatest new funny thing. And I just could not stand it.
I'm on your side for this one. I didn't see this one till video, and everyone was telling me, even my wife at the time, my son, everybody, how fucking funny it was. I rented it, I watched it, and I'm like, did you see a different movie than I did? Because the one I saw was predictable, boring, over the top, and not funny.
If you guys are talking about how underwhelming it is, I have to agree. I think Hangover is really overrated as a film. It's just kind of dick jokes, the movie. I found some scenes mildly funny, but Zach Galifianakis gets so grating after a certain point. Kind of punch his character out, and that's probably the one good scene is when he gets knocked the fuck out by Mike Tyson. Just every time he opens his mouth, it's like, oh, would you shut up? Really irritating, douchey, should have been victims in slasher movies characters.
I actually look at it as, you guys realize they made this movie back in the 90s and it was much better when it was called Very Bad Things, right?
I actually like, I mean, Very Bad Things I think is pretty good, but I liked Stag, which was the more serious version of the same movie. Actors that you, not as, you know, I mean, Very Bad Things got the higher tier of actors at the time. I mean,
and some of the darkest freaking humor I've ever encountered too.
Yeah, I mean, but Stag actually was more of like it was the same thing, just the horror movie. I'm not sure which one got greenlit first, but I know that Stag went direct to video, whereas Very Bad Things went to the theater. They're not, a lot of people don't like that kind of dark humor, and that's pretty freaking dark.
It's, especially that ending is, wow, that definitely, I can't believe the studio let them put that ending on the film.
Yeah, I think they
must
have. We're
loving too many movies right now. We got to go back to that.
Oh, we got to
get back to that. True, all right. We got to get back to the, okay. So one of my picks, I saw this movie in the theater. I saw the first sequel in the theater. I've seen it maybe a dozen more times over the years. Everyone loves Back to the Future but me. I don't get it. If you like Back to the Future, fine, like the movie. I don't find it endearing. I don't find it funny. I don't find it quirky. I don't find it original. I cannot get into this film. And I keep seeing every person I encounter going, one of the best, most funny science fiction movies ever. I didn't like it when I was 10. That's when it came out. I didn't like it when I was 15. I didn't like it when I was 20. I don't like this movie. I don't get the appeal of Back to the Future. I just
don't. Why don't you make like a tree and get out of here? Sound about as stupid as a screen door on a battleship right now. Don't like Back to the Future? They're incredibly, every movie is entertaining. Every movie in that franchise is such a fun movie, and the character of Marty McFly is endearing and cool, and Doc Brown is great, and Biff is such an awesome villain. You know, Crispin Glover is hilarious as his dad and stuff like that. Like, I don't know. It's one of those movies that I feel like is beloved for a reason. It really is that damn good. And I don't get why you don't like it. That's very strange to me.
I'm the same way, man. I love Back to the Future. I've loved it ever since I first saw it. It's clever. It's funny. Michael J. Fox is just so charming as Marty McFly. The humor is on point. There's little things here, you know, the whole Calvin thing where, you know, his mom looked at his underwear and she's trying to like have sex with him and like just really awkward, just weirdo things that go on. It's just such a like fun movie. Like, I can't see, like, there are certain movies where you sit down and you watch it and you don't feel anything like that. You just sit down and like, if you're in a bad mood, you just can't be in a bad mood anymore.
Yeah.
The soundtrack with Huey Lewis is so like upbeat and it just puts you in a good mood. Like, I love, the Back to Future 1 and Back to Future 2, I adore. 3, I have my problems with, but, still, as far as the first one goes, it's just a good movie, and it very much deserves all of the praise that it gets. So, I think, in this case, I think you're just being a grump.
Was it Scott Pilgrim versus the World or whatever it was?
Oh my God, what a chore that movie was to get through.
God, when that one came out, I remember pretty much everybody in my friend circle adored it. Like, they loved it. They thought it was so clever with all of its like video game references and how sort of nihilistic Scott Pilgrim is as a character, his whole thing with the girl and the ex-boyfriends. And I hated it so much, and it was because of all of the like unneeded video, like the P meter and all this stupid crap, and I couldn't stand the attitude of the Scott Pilgrim character. I didn't buy him as an underdog. Just the characterizations were terrible. I hate the idea that he likes this girl simply because she has like purple hair or something. Like, it was just irritating. And the reason why I don't buy him as an underdog, the good examples of underdog movies are characters that are usually, like, they're smaller in stature to a degree, and they take a lot of punishment, and then they come out, you know, the victor in the end, or at least, like, really show that they've had a lot of heart. Examples of this are Rocky, Die Hard, movies like that, where by the end of the film, the hero is battered and bruised, but his spirit isn't broken. He's still triumphs in a way, either, you know, physically or metaphorically or whatever. Whereas in Scott Pilgrim, the guy's getting like punched through buildings and he doesn't have so much as a fucking black eye. It's an incredibly irritating proto-hipster douche movie, and I can't stand it, and I don't know why people like it. I think it's quite possibly...
It's also an incredibly sexist movie. I mean, literally, this movie is Feminism? What is feminism? You have to fight for your girl. She'll only be with you if you're strong and got a hunter instinct. And I mean, it's a sexist movie, and I found it to be a pseudo-clever movie. Like all those video game references you hated so much, you just knew Edgar Wright was sitting in the back going, oh my god, I am so clever. The movie annoyed the piss out of me.
That kind of thing. Like you could picture the director the writer just like jerking while he's writing it. Like, oh, this is going to be so funny. It's the worst comic book movie of all time. And I know it's based on a comic that I equally don't like at all either. I think the comic sucks and the movie sucks. I don't understand why people like it. I really don't. And it's not even for the reason you actually brought up is a good point. The whole having to fight for your woman thing. Like it is kind of sexist to that degree, but everything is, there's just nothing interesting about it. Like his reason for wanting to be with her is stupid. Fight scenes are stupid. The fact that he takes no damage is stupid. Like, I mean, if you're making the video game references, one of the most obvious ones you can make is Mike Tyson's punch out. Little Mac, the further you go in a fight, His eye swells up. He takes damage and he's a small little character from an NES game. Like how are you making video game references the entire way through and fuck that one up? Like that's, god damn that movie.
I think the arrogance of that movie is only equaled by Cabin in the Woods with Joss Whedon's, oh my god, I am so clever. And I hate Cabin in the Woods just as much because it thinks it's clever when it's actually not.
Before I go into Scott Pilgrim, I'll just briefly mention, I think I put out a 10-minute video about Cabin in the Woods that completely...
10 minutes of you being wrong, yes.
10 minutes of me being incredibly right. That
10 minutes of him being very right. Cabin in the Woods is awesome. Shut up, Josh.
Yeah, you're completely wrong in that aspect. But anyway, as far as Scott Pilgrim, that's one I can understand people not liking it. I personally absolutely love it. I had read the comics and not all of them, but enough. And I thought that they did a very good job of translating it to the screen. And the thing is, proving how much I enjoy the movie, I don't like Michael Cera one bit. I think that he is a tremendously one-noted character. And in this, it worked. Like they somehow gave him likability, which I didn't think was possible. And the whole self-depreciating kind of little worminess to him, it translated well and it just worked. I liked the video game references. I thought that they were funny. And as far as like the unrealistic aspects of it, the whole movie is supposed to be unrealistic. I mean, that's why he's not really taking damage. I mean, he would have been dead if that was the case.
Yeah, but even like unrealistic things still show damage. I mean,
but like in Scott Pilgrim, he's being thrown through walls and the walls are falling down and he just dusts himself off.
Stupid. Like even, yeah, like there are tons of ridiculous things. Dragon Ball Z is one of the most retarded things on the face of the earth, but they still get bruised as all shit when they're fighting and stuff. Whereas Scott Pilgrim, he's this wormy little shit. You're telling me he's not going to get a black eye from getting punched through a building by Chris fucking Evans? Just because it's doing video game references doesn't mean that, like, I don't know. I like seeing a hero's journey kind of thing. And when it's an underdog and he's not really actually taking that much damage and there's nothing to really worry about, I don't care. Like, I think that's one of the biggest reasons why I just don't like it. You never feel like he's ever in any actual danger. Like, it's one of the worst examples of an underdog story to me, which is that's why one of the biggest reasons why I don't like it.
Supposed to be like cartoonish, and it's not meant to be really taken like that seriously. I don't know. I personally really like, it was one of my favorite movies of that year. This kind of goes, as I've said in a recent video, where I was talking about how I'm really rough with comedies. I hated Superbad.
Superbad is so, it's its own critic. It's super bad.
It started off all right. Like I kind of thought it was funny, was going along and I'm like, all right, this could be good. I was laughing a little bit, but then they get to the party and it stops being funny for the next hour. And they just were doing things that were stupid, that weren't funny. Oh, he got period blood on his jeans. Everybody is period blood jean guy. And then he puts all the booze in detergent containers and everyone drinks it and then they all got blue all over them. It wasn't funny. Like the only
McLovin? Not funny.
Well, the McLovin thing unfortunately was driven into the ground. Like it was funny in and of itself, like at the time, at the context, it's like, oh, you know, here's this guy and he got this, fake ID and it says McLovin. Oh, it's a really,
the movie, the 1987 movie Summer School had a much funnier fake ID scene. You were a black Marine in 1972? War changes you, man.
Yeah. But I mean, I'm not like, yeah, I mean, Summer School is a way better movie. We were talking about it earlier. I don't like Jonah Hill. I mean, it's got Michael Cera, who he wasn't really the worst part of it. Like the script I really thought was the worst part of it. I just didn't find it funny. Didn't like any of the characters particularly. I mean, that Jonah Hill is going to land Emma Stone on what planet? You know, Seth Rogen again. Oh, he's the cop that he just did not like it at all. I really, really, really hated it.
See, I'll agree with you, but I don't get a lot of these modern teen movies like American Pie and all these. I watched American Pie the same as I watched Superbad. Everyone told me how great it was, and I watched it and went, "You saw a different film than I did." Maybe I've gotten too old, but the modern teen, you know, drinking comedies really don't touch me at all the way they used to. I can look at the 80s ones where James Spader is always the villain and stuff. Those are good. I cannot get into the American Pie movies or the Judd Apatow flicks. They're just not funny to me.
I would not even put, like, the American Pie movies are very much like modern day Porky's. Like, I think they're the
without being half as clever
teen sex comedies. They're funny. I would not put them anywhere near the Judd Apatow piles of garbage. His stuff, he did 40-Year-Old Virgin, which is funny, and I'll give him that. I think it's a very funny movie.
Yeah, I actually, Judd Apatow is weird, because, like, he's very hit and miss. Like, he'll make something that's genuinely pretty hilarious, and then he'll put out Superbad.
And, yeah, I don't think I've liked a movie that he's done since. And, I mean, he didn't direct Superbad. He produced it. Knocked Up was terrible. This is 40 was terrible. Pineapple Express was mediocre.
I've got a weird thing for Leslie Mann. Other than that, Judd Apatow movies can fuck off. I think Leslie Mann, I don't know why, cause she always plays such a ball busting dyke. Maybe that falls into my castrating bitch fetish or something. I don't know.
You know what, man?
I agree with you guys. I probably hate it more than anything just because of the McLovin thing. Like, that was funny for like 2 seconds, and then I was in high school at the time when that came out, and just the first day you come in after that movie's release and everybody has seen it, it's just McLovin jokes all day long. Like, it got so old so fast, and the movie was not nearly good enough to warrant that kind of, you know, memeage. It was so just irritating, everybody making the same stupid jokes. Seth Rogen wrote it. I have this theory, and it's something I first noticed thinking back to Superbad and comparing Seth Rogen to other characters you would see in movies. He has a scene in every single film he's ever done where he berates his co-star to some degree, or belittles them, or lords over them in some way. And Superbad features this. There's the "you cock-blocked McLovin" thing, and it's like, does that in every movie. He scolds Paul Rudd. He scolds Kato in Green Hornet. He scolds Adam Sandler at some point in their that Funny People movie. And just thinking back to that makes me hate Superbad even more, because it was the spawning. I'm a stoner, but I might be a stoner loser, but you're a piece of shit. Seth Rogen lords over his co-star phase, which is in, I swear to God, every single Seth Rogen movie features this. And now that you say that he wrote it, or at least co-wrote it, I think that's his contribution to every film. Is he asks the director or whatever, "Oh yeah, could there be a scene where, like, I really show that I'm not actually this piece of shit, and that I'm very noble, and like I ream out my co-star?" And it just makes me hate him all the more. And now I kind of know why that might be the case. I think he writes that into every movie he's in. I'm gonna go with Boondock Saints.
Oh my God, do I hate those films!
I really wanted to love both of them. When I first watched Boondock Saints, I was a bit tuned out. I think I was like 6 Budweisers in by the time I started the movie, and I was enjoying certain aspects of it. I was also talking to people at the same time, but I think all I remembered was that there were dudes in trench coats and they shot people. I didn't really pay much attention to the dialogue, and then I watched it again a week later. So I was like, I kind of remember sort of liking this movie, but I was a bit drunk and I didn't really hear any of what the characters had to say, so let's give this another shot, and I hated it.
Boondock Saints is like a Quentin Tarantino wet dream come to life.
Oh my god, it was, the dialogue was cringeworthy in that movie. It's, what did we say about, it was one of the first movies we talked about that we brought up. Like the dialogue where it's written, where they really think what they're saying is so witty, and, you know, the characters are always making the little snappy comebacks, and it's sort of obviously very much trying to be that sort of Quentin Tarantino having conversations about nothing, but it can still be interesting. Whereas in this case, oh my god, the verbal diarrhea of both of the main characters and how clever and funny and badass they're constantly trying to be. And it just gets, it's grating. The way the action scenes are shot, and it's trying to have this like slick, almost, like a Guy Ritchie kind of thing where it's like he's got some of the, you know, he's spinning upside down and shooting them in slow motion and all this stuff. And it's just the whole movie just feels like a writer's wank fest. Like what I'm writing and putting down on paper is so badass and it's going to be so cool. And it ended up being one of the stupidest fucking movies I've ever seen in my life. I can't stand Boondock Saints.
I'll back you up on that one. I don't get the love for that movie. I never saw the sequel. I don't get the love for that movie. I just
sequel's
don't.
Even worse. Sequel is like everything that was kind of bad about the first one is
jacked up to 11
by about 15 in the second one.
See, I always found the first Boondock Saints to be what I call a pseudo-clever movie.
Yeah.
They really think they're clever, but they're not.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly how it's written. Like, the characters are written all, like, smug, and they think they got that dry wit and all that shit, but it's just, it's written, it feels like it was written by a 14-year-old edgelord.
You know, I've only ever seen it once. I remember enjoying it, but I don't really remember it well enough to defend or to go one way or the other. So I'm gonna take a knee on this one. I don't remember.
My next one is not necessarily a movie, but it's a filmmaker and his entire filmography, and that is Christopher Nolan. I have not liked a single Christopher Nolan film yet. I thought Interstellar was I don't like any of the Batman movies. I thought Interstellar was pretentious crap. Inception was another pseudo-clever movie that is just a patchwork of elements from about a dozen different sci-fi films all thrown together. God. Oh, look! Originality!
Inception was ruined for me a lot of the same way that Superbad was, because people would praise it endlessly and talk about how intelligent it was and all this stuff. And then I started to hate it after that because it didn't, like, it was a good action movie and the premise was interesting, but it was far from like super smart or anything.
I don't like everything Christopher Nolan touches screams pretension. Now people say, oh, you use the word pretension too much. No, Christopher Nolan embodies pretension on a blockbuster level the way Terrence Malick embodies pretension on an art house level. I think Christopher Nolan is a Terrence Malick of the blockbuster scene. And he really thinks his stuff is fantastic. You hear him talk about his movies. He thinks he has made transcendent films that have broken the mold of what film can truly be. Dude, in Interstellar, the power of love is the most powerful thing in the universe in a movie that's otherwise science-based. Shut the fuck up and stop smelling your own farts.
But that's the power of love.
I like his stuff for the most part. I thought Memento is probably his best work. I really think that was a very smart, unique movie. I mean, it had to be a bitch to be able to orchestrate that whole thing together and tell the whole thing backwards. It was very clever and I loved it. I thought that was a really good movie. As far as his other stuff, The Dark Knight, I think that Heath Ledger was a very good Joker. Unfortunately, the movie was about a half hour too long.
And the script was horrible.
Yeah, it wasn't like how Batman versus Superman was initially when I saw the theatrical cut, it was long. And then, when they did the ultimate cut, it put in all the missing pieces and then the movie flowed better and it felt right. It was like, no, this was just long.
Okay.
So I thought that Batman Begins of the three Batman movies of the three Nolan Batman movies, I actually like Batman Begins the best. I think it flows the best.
That's my favorite one too. I actually, because I enjoyed seeing, it was the first time we actually got to see him besides like, you know, reading Year One or something, you get to see Batman actually training to become Batman in sort of the early stages of his vigilante stuff. I actually thought that was really cool. It brought something different to the table.
But like with The Dark Knight, everyone was praising it as like at the time the best comic book movie ever made. And I'm like, did you guys actually pay attention to the script? This movie is really, really poorly written. It falls into the traps that Nolan falls into in all of his scripts, where he takes convenient shortcuts. In The Dark Knight, how do you make Batman a badass? Through other people's actions. You make everyone else an incompetent moron. Gotham has the most incompetent police force of all time. Again and again and again and again in the same movie. So by default, Batman has to be badass. Cause he's surrounded by morons. He's surrounded by the Three Stooges in blue uniforms. Again and again. I mean, seriously, in that movie, when I was watching it, I'm like, oh, come on, the cops can't be this stupid. Yep, they fell for it again. Oh, the cops can't be this. Yep, they fell for it again. Because that's the only way he could make Batman interesting in that was to make him smarter than the stupid people. That's bad script writing. He does that in Interstellar. He does that in Inception. He does that in The Batman. His thing is about, I make my good guy a badass by making everyone else an incompetent shithead. So I really do not like Christopher Nolan movies. I've not seen one that has not pissed me off. And his involvement in the Westworld series, I'm only three episodes in, screams of, even before I knew he was involved in that. I watched the first two episodes before I went and paid attention to the credits to see that he was a producer. I'm like, yep, that explains the pseudo-pretension of this thing. It's like, yeah, his fingerprints were all over it even before I knew he was involved. I really hate Christopher Nolan. Really hate his work.
Hey, yes, we're gonna go back to comedy again. Good old 2005 pile of feces, Wedding Crashers.
Oh, thank you.
Take-
oh, what garbage.
What garbage. Take two people who I already don't like, Owen Wilson and Vince Vaughn.
And who have no chemistry on screen together.
Zero chemistry together. And they're just gonna go to weddings and bang, you know, girls that are sad because they're not getting married. And oh my god, just not funny. Everything was irritating. They were completely unlikable. They were hateable. I was watching it with my girlfriend at the time, who's now my wife, but we're watching it and she's just like, oh, die, both of you. Like, I think she may have hated it more than I did. It just stinks.
She definitely has, I think, even more reason to hate it just because it's a movie that totally glorifies like fuckboy culture.
Oh, yeah. It absolutely does. Yeah, it's a very misogynistic movie.
Oh yeah, I usually never touch that word with like a 10-foot pole, but that is a totally misogynistic film.
Yeah, this was a film made for guys who want to feel better about the fact that they can't get girls.
Hey, here's Vince Vaughn, who's this like goblin looking dude. And here's, messed up nose Owen Wilson, who always, he talks so he has to close his mouth a little bit. And like, just two unlikable asshats. And somehow they're like the scourge of the wedding scene. They put on a $5 suit and they go and they bang like all of these disappointed drunk girls.
And they're our heroes.
And they're the heroes. Like, believe me, dude, I like a lot of movies with unlikely heroes and unlikable heroes. Movies like Payback, where, like, everybody's bad, but, like, you still end up really liking them. But this, they sucked. They're not funny. They're, it just was a waste of a lot of money. And, there were people in this, too, that I did, like, I like Rachel McAdams. I love Christopher Walken. I mean, they had, like, some good people in it, but it just was overshadowed by how terrible it was.
I'm gonna go with one that I don't hate it, but it was, it ended up being disappointing the more I thought about it. And it's a recent one. It's more of a 2016 pick. And I'm gonna explain why. And I'm gonna also explain that I don't hate it. It's just something that, I feel like people need to look back at it and see that it's not as, or at least to me, I feel like it's not as amazing as it was or could have been. And that's Deadpool. I really went into that movie wanting to love it because, I mean, I'm a big fan of the comics, always have been. And I thought all the marketing was beautifully done. Ryan Reynolds obviously is a huge boner for the character. And then upon walking out of the film, like, my brain was telling me, you loved this, you totally loved this. But then the more and more I thought about it, and the more and more Charlotte and I would talk about it, just the whole way back home, getting home and still talking about it, we ended up, like, bitching about it more than praising it. Like, there were these, it looked right. They got the costume right. They got the character kind of right. They got the backstory pretty much right. But in the execution, thinking about it, it ended up pissing me off because the whole movie, at least 80% of it, is a flashback. It's shot in this weird non-linear way where Deadpool is on his way to go fight a guy with a buzz cut at like, in like the warehouse district of town while you have the non-linear style of telling the story. Bugged me for some reason because I felt like what actually happens in the present of that film, it's far less interesting than the story we're actually being told. His motivation was f***ing stupid and the actual climax of the film pissed me off more than anything because Deadpool is meant to be this very gnarly looking character. The whole point is that he's this unlovable, unfuckable guy because of his, you know, the whole cancer thing and the healing factor that's given to him goes in reverse, makes him worse, almost kills him, and turns him into both a mentally and physically fractured guy. This movie ends with him getting the girl like it's some Hollywood action movie, which Deadpool is like as anti-establishment as it gets.
That's one of the problems I had with it too, Peter. It tries to be this movie that is breaking all the rules, and yet it tells a completely mundane, standard rom-com story in an action movie.
It's a f***ing romantic comedy. Deadpool is a glorified romantic comedy with graphic violence in it. I hated it, almost for the ending alone. I hate it. I hate the fact that he ends up, like, since when is Deadpool this, like, happy relationship, white picket fence guy? He shouldn't even want to be alive with how awful his life is and how awful his, like, love life is. He can't catch a break with girls or dates or anything, but something keeps him going, that being probably his psychosis. So he's a very, very flawed and tragic character, and that's the backbone of him as a character, is that he still manages to somehow keep somewhat of a positive outlook, even though he lives in this dump. You know, he works as a mercenary. He sits around in his underpants watching Golden Girls and stuff. Like, all these elements of Deadpool that I really loved as a character were not present in the movie whatsoever. There were little elements here and there. I think he's wearing like a B. Arthur shirt at some point. The shitty apartment is there. He lives in this like crappy duplex with Al. That was there. But then you have the whole relationship thing and he's fighting to save his girl and all this stuff. It's like, really? This is the plot we're using for Deadpool. He's going to go rescue his girlfriend. And then she sees him at the end. She's like, oh, you know, after a couple beers, I won't care. And they make out. And it's just stupid. It's just, I would have rather seen a movie about, Colossus and Mega Teenage Warhead or whatever, because I actually found their characters to be way more fun and way better written than Deadpool was in his own fucking movie. Like, it was, I don't know if you guys have had that experience where you feel like you should have enjoyed it. And then by the time you get home, you're like, I kind of hated that. And, that's how I feel about Deadpool. And it's kind of funny because after that, I went into Batman versus Superman with such low expectations. And then that one ended up just genuinely surprising me. Like, I think I've watched that one like 6 times at this point, but Deadpool was such a weird opposite to that, where I was looking forward to it ever since the first like set photos. I mean, they filmed it in Vancouver, maybe an hour from me in downtown, mostly in like the Yale Town area. I'd seen roads closed off. You know, I was on my way, I think, to work at the time, and I actually caught a glimpse of Ryan Reynolds in the Deadpool costume on the bridge. There was a lot of excitement, people watching the movie get filmed, and there was so much happiness going into the theater, and then bitterness walking out. And I really feel like I'm in the minority, because almost everybody I know besides my girlfriend loves Deadpool, and I don't get it. I mean, I get it. He's a funny character. He's great. It's awesome that he finally got his own, you know, R-rated movie, and it does redeem what happened in Wolverine Origins. But I feel like the movie we got is nowhere near as great as it actually could have and should have been.
I got your back on this one, brother, because I went to see this one. I saw it like 2 or 3 nights after it opened. Everyone was telling me how amazing it was. My girlfriend just loved it, and I just was kind of like, eh. You know, the jokes are forced. The fourth wall breaking isn't nearly as clever as it thinks it is.
Or as it was in the comics. Well, like, there's not enough of Deadpool, like, actually talking to the voices in his head.
A lot of the jokes just don't work. And then a few of the jokes
like
that...
like, you're like an avocado that cooked an uglier avocado and all this stuff. People were quoting that's
horribly not funny.
Endlessly. Like at my work, people were just like lambasting me with that quote. Like just completely pile driving me with those crappy quotes that like you're acting like this is funny. It's not.
Peter, there's a weird give and take. If that same avocado joke was in a Larry the Cable Guy movie, it would have been booed.
Yeah.
But because it was in a Deadpool movie, that somehow makes it funny. No, it doesn't.
Yeah, Deadpool says it, it's like hilarious.
No, I didn't hate this movie, but I definitely did not like this movie. My girlfriend liked it a lot more.
It's more disappointing to me than hate it. Like, I don't hate it. There were a lot of it I enjoyed for the most part, but it's just little things that, and I normally don't hate movies over that, but just thinking about certain liberties they took, like giving him a girlfriend. I don't mind if he's, you know, having a girlfriend as normal Wade Wilson, but one of the whole points of Deadpool as a character is that he is tragically single. Like that's the whole point, is that nobody likes being around him. Since when did the X-Men want him in the X-Men? He constantly tries to join them and they always reject him because, you know, he's too much of a loose cannon.
Well, see, when it came to the humor, this should just tell everybody just how disconnected I am from the mainstream. The few jokes I did laugh at were the ones the audience didn't get. Like when there was blood all over him and he went, "Are you there, God? It's me, Martha." I laughed at that because I got that. That's a period joke based on that Judy Blume book about a girl getting her first period. The theater was silent except for me. My girlfriend's like, "What are you laughing at?" I'm like, "Oh my God, am I so disconnected that I'm the only one who got that fucking joke?" But I mean, how many people even know about that book? So that's why that joke might have been so obscure, the Luddite hipster in me found it funny, maybe.
You're wrong.
I knew that was coming.
I'm not going to go into it. I mean, because I don't feel like getting into the dispute about it. Basically, I think that for what it was, that makes it sound like it's a for what it was. No, I really think that they knocked it out of the park. I think that if Ryan Reynolds really didn't fight for it as much as he did, we would have ended up with something that was much worse.
We're running out of time, so my last one is going to be a trilogy. I just don't get the Lord of the Rings movies. I really do not get the love for these movies. And I'm not talking about the Hobbit disasters. I mean, I saw Lord of the Rings and Two Towers in the theater, and I just did not understand why everyone was enjoying these but me. I remember I read the books when I was in high school back in the 80s. I remember watching the 70s Rankin Bass movies and the 70s Ralph Bakshi movie. And the Rankin Bass ones I enjoyed quite a bit, even if Return of the King took a lot of liberties. I just couldn't get into these movies. I didn't like the cast, with the exception of Viggo Mortensen. Didn't like the way these things were shot. I didn't like the look. I didn't like how drug out these things were. I didn't like, I mean, to me, the directing mistakes really took me out of this film, just left and right, all the mistakes that they had that someone of Peter Jackson's talent should never have allowed in the final film. I just don't get the Lord of the Rings movies. These movies are so beloved. I don't understand it. I've seen all three of them. I don't get why these things are so beloved. You know what? I'll stick with the Beastmaster and Conan movies. Thank you very much.
Not a fan of Two Towers and what's the third one? Return of the King or whatever. Two and three, I'm not a fan of. I did enjoy the first one, and I've thought about why, and I think it's just because I might be in love with Sean Bean. Like, seriously, I think that might be the only fucking reason.
If you really love Sean Bean, you'd end up killing him. It just would happen.
And he always dies really gloriously, too. And his death scene is no exception in Lord of the Rings, because he's taking, like, millions of arrows and still, like, you know, kicking orc ass. And it's so awesome. I think I like the first one because just not even for my love for Sean Bean, which he's always been one of my favorite actors, and I've always found him extremely charismatic. His character is by far the most interesting out of that whole group. He's flawed in an interesting way, and he really gets taken by the ring, and his greed almost like overwhelms him. And, you know, he's trying to live up to his family name and all this stuff, you know, but in the end he has this great arc, and he, you know, sacrifices himself for the sake of the group. And I thought that was really cool. And then the second and the third one just didn't have characters like that. Like, it might just be because I like Boromir slash Sean Bean's portrayal of the character so much in the first one that just two and three didn't have any of that for me. Like, I found, like, oh, they're, all the rest of the movies are is just like, Mr. Frodo, Sam, just shut up, stupid hobbits.
I like them. Well, you know, whatever.
Of course you do.
They're really, you know, they're, and I mean, I grew up playing D&D, and this was big budget filmic adaptation of Lord of the Rings, you know, one of the biggest influences over the whole pen and paper fantasy thing. And it was neat, you know. They are long, but I don't think that they're overlong. I think 2 Towers does get a little bit, you know, drags a little in the middle. Overall,
I literally almost fell asleep during 2 Towers. The friend I was with actually had to wake me up a couple of times because I was so bored.
I don't hate them as much as Josh does. I do think they're incredibly well-made movies. Like, they're beautiful to look at, and I really got to commend Peter Jackson, you know, going from making movies like Brain Dead in the 80s and rising up and managing to make this trilogy, making a franchise that's as beloved as Star Wars. Like, it's pretty much this generation's Star Wars trilogy. It's got just as big of a fan base, and it's very, I can see the magic in it. I understand why people like it. Like, it's not one of those movies where I don't get it. Like, I do really get why people like them, and I do think they have a magic to them. I just didn't find 2 and 3 quite as compelling as the first one.
There are many more we could talk about, but I just wanted to look at just like some of these movies that we don't understand. And we didn't even hit on any of the classics. Like, I don't get Casablanca or On the Waterfront or any of these kind of movies. I don't get the love poured over certain movies. I don't know if it's just our disconnect or if it's just we didn't like these movies. Like,
personal taste.
You know, as I said at the beginning, if you guys like these films that we didn't like, that's not a bad thing. Continue to like them. Our opinion shouldn't shape yours. We just didn't like them. I mean, Cecil's always wrong, but other than that.
Somebody always is going to end up bitching, I'm sure.
Peter, where can people find you if they wish to tell you that you're wrong?
You can come and just tell me off on YouTube, Cinemasochist, and Twitter, the Cinemasochist, Facebook, Cinemasochist, but Twitter at Cinematica, grindhousechannel.com, and on 1201beyond.com. Just if you don't agree with me, I don't really care. I probably won't respond.
Cecil will respond because he takes everything to heart.
A little too much. Oh, and I just want to throw this out there real quick because we didn't get into it. High Fidelity is one of the worst movies ever made.
Thank you. I hate that movie so much.
So much pretension. Records are better. Shut up. But anyway, so yeah, well, believe me, I could, I'm surprised that didn't come to mind. I must have blocked it out. Everything in that movie I hate. What I don't hate is, you can find me at escapistmagazine.com, goodbadflix.com, YouTube, goodbadflix, as well as Facebook, goodbadflix, and Twitter. I am at goodbadflix.
Not Instagram.
I have given up trying to get fake me off of Instagram.
And you can find me at 1201beyond.com and contact this show at 1201beyond@gmail.com. Guys, make sure your opinions are your own. Like what you like, dislike what you dislike. Keep one foot in the gutter, one fist in the gold. Have a good night.
She came from Greece. She had a thirst for knowledge. She studied sculpture at St. Martin's College. That's where I caught her eye. She told me that her dad was loaded. I said, in that case, I'll have a rum and Coca-Cola. She said, fine. And in 30 seconds time, she said, I want to live like common people. I want to do whatever common people do. I want to sleep with common people. I want to sleep with common people like you. Well, what else could I do? I said, I'll see what I can do. I took her to a supermarket. I don't know why, but I had to start it somewhere. So it started there. I said, pretend you've got no money. She just laughed and said, oh, you're so funny. I said, yeah? Well, I can't see anyone else smiling in here.
Are you sure?
You want to live like common people? You want to see whatever common people see? You want to sleep with common people? You want to sleep with common people like me? But she didn't understand.
She just smiled and held my hand. Ran to flat to barber shop. Cut your hair and get a job. Smoke some flags and play some pool. Pretend you never went to school. But still you'll never get it right. When you're lying in bed at night, watching roaches climb the wall. If you called your dad, he could stop it all here.
You'll never live like common people. You'll never do whatever common people do. You'll never fail like common people. You'll never watch your life slide out of you and dance and drink and screw. Cause there's nothing
else to do.
Stupid things that you do because you think that poor is cool.
Like a dog lying in a corner, they'll bite you and never warn you. Look out.
They'll tear your insides out because everybody hates a tourist.
Everybody hates a tourist, especially one who thinks it's all such a lie.
Yeah, and the chip stains grease will come out in the bath. Climb the wall. If you called your dad, he could stop it all. Yeah. You'll never live like common people.
You'll never do
what common people do. You'll never fail like common people.
You'll never watch your life slide out of you.
And dance and drink and screw. Because there's nothing else to do.
Radiodrome is a 1201 Beyond production. Find it and other great content at 1201beyond.com.